Word of mouth.
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 Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Talking about death is not something most people do willingly. Who wants to think about our mortality or that of our loved ones? There is one venue that welcomes, even requires, discussions of death: the ghost story. Where else do we thrill to signs from the afterlife or ponder out loud what may happen in the underworld? Ghost stories are speculations, little experiments in death, writes Audrey Niffenegger in her introduction to a new collection. They allow us to face our fears head on and challenge us to imagine death so terrifying our own mortality pales in comparison. Audrey Niffenegger is a visual artist and author of The Time Traveler's Wife. She curated and illustrated Ghostly, which includes tales from Neil Gaiman, Rudyard Kipling, Edith Wharton, Ray Bradbury, and one of her own creepy stories, just in time for Halloween. Audrey, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you very much.
So what is the appeal of the ghost story, do you think?
Well, I think many of us really like the idea that everything doesn't just stop when we do. There's definitely a yearning for there to be more. And the ghost story is an opportunity to imagine a world where that's perfectly true, that people do somehow echo on after their demise. And usually the ghost story is a vehicle for thinking about why that wouldn't be a good idea, but occasionally people really revel in it and find the humor in it.
Well, you don't go back to the beginning of time, certainly, in this collection, but tell us how you think it's changed the ghost story through the years.
Ghost stories go back as far as literature. There are ghost stories in the Tale of Genji. There are ghost stories in the Bible. My remit from my publisher, whose idea this was, they wanted a nice mix of English and American ghost stories, as many as possible of which were to be out of copyright, which doesn't sound very romantic, but once they started sending me huge stacks of ghost stories, it got much more fun.
Now, how did you pick them out?
It's funny because I knew something about myself, which is that I don't really like horror that much. I don't like things to be dripping with blood and all, you know, goopy and leave the lights on, I can't sleep kind of stories. What I really love are stories that are about longing and loss and grief. So the stories I chose are mostly about hauntings. My editors and I, the shortcut way of explaining this was houses, lovers, children, cats. but these are the things that mostly get haunted in ghost stories, and we found ourselves over and over again gravitating toward these subjects for the ghost stories.
Well, you did choose a story from Edgar Allan Poe, The Black Cat, sort of a classic. But in your own story, Secret Life with Cats, what is it about cats that makes them the right animal spirit for creepy stories?
Well, the cats are a little bit like ghosts. I have two cats. Their names are Whimsy and Claudine. They're both black. And even when I'm not actually at home, I tend to think that they're around, because any pile of discarded sweater or shoes sitting on the floor, my wardrobe is mostly black, and so I'm constantly thinking I'm seeing them out of the corner of my eye. And so they, you know, they pat around so silently, and they're kind of the animating spirits of the house, but they also are a little bit like the ghosts of the house.
The first few days were uneventful. I often had the feeling that something was moving at the edge of my vision, a slight blur, a dark shape. I read my books and ate chocolate. I listened to All Things Considered and took long baths. On the third night, I woke up suddenly. A large cat was sitting on the bed, looking at me. Its eyes reflected pale green. I offered my hand to it. It considered this for a moment, then flicked its tail and jumped off the bed. There was a slight thump as it landed, and then silence. I looked all over the room, but didn't find it.
Well, you include a story also by M.R. James, a story called The Mezzotint, and he is somebody who wrote many, many ghost stories. What is it about this particular story that grabbed you?
I am a printmaker, and for many years I taught classes in intaglio, and a mezzotint is a kind of intaglio. And so every Halloween I would read the mezzotint to my students. And it's just such a funny story. I mean, it's creepy, and it will raise the hairs on the back of your neck, but it's also a very, very particular kind of haunting. It's a haunted mezzotint, a print. The man who acquires this print does it sort of by accident, and it's sitting in his room, and at first he doesn't care about it. You know, it's no big deal. It's this thing that has arrived, and it's a mezzotint of a big building in the countryside, a kind of a mansion. And when he next looks at it, there's a figure in it at the edge of the print, and he thinks, oh, I didn't realize that was there. And then he and some of his friends then start paying more attention to the thing, and what they see is they see a crime being carried out, and the figure never moves when anybody's looking at it. It only moves when you take your attention away. And it's a kind of a reenactment of this thing that's happened long, long before, and they're powerless to help anyone or do anything about it. And it's just kind of marvelous because it's the combination of the nastiness of the crime and the safety from which they're watching it. They're all sitting there in this comfortable room in Oxford, and it's kind of analogous to ourselves as the readers. You know, we're sitting there in the safety of our own homes with our nice hot drinks, and so we're like the people in the story. We experience it at a remove.
"Now," he said, "Nisbet, I want you to tell me exactly what you see in that picture. Describe it, if you don't mind, rather minutely. I'll tell you why afterwards."
"Well," said Nisbet, "I have here a view of the country house. English, I presume, by moonlight."
"Moonlight? You're sure of that?"
"Certainly. The moon appears to be on the wane, if you wish for details, and there are clouds in the sky."
"All right, go on. I'll swear," added Williams in an aside, "there was no moon when I saw it first."
Do you think ghost stories have more power when they are read or told aloud?
Yeah, I think it can. I mean, it's certainly a wonderful thing to sit around in a dimly lit room or next to a fire and have somebody read or tell a ghost story, especially if they're good at it. What I like is the very understated approach. You can probably tell this from the stories I chose. There's no Lovecraft in there.
That also tends to be seasonal. You know, you said sitting around a fire. I think of this, the Halloween season, as a great season for ghost stories. Is it harder to scare people, I guess, in the summer?
Oh, I don't know. Think of all the, you know,
campfire.
I went to Girl
stories,
Scout camp,
right.
And that was
okay.
Our favorite thing. Yeah, right. Sit around the fire, you know.
But they don't have to be scary. There's a terrific story in here called Tiny Ghosts, which is somewhat humorous. These little gang of ghosts, little ones that take over the apartment of this woman and her husband.
Yeah. That Tiny Ghosts is my big discovery for this collection. It's by a very young writer named Amy Jacklone, and she's actually a graduate student right now at Columbia College, about to graduate. But I heard her read this, and she was magnificent, and the story is hilarious, and yet it is a ghost story. Everything about it is so modern and so familiar, and yet these tiny ghosts, indeed, they infest this apartment, and, you know, they're 6 inches tall, and nevertheless, they're dominating these people.
They're much cooler than the people who live there.
Incredibly, yes, and wonderfully cooler, and yet you just love the narrator. She's the best.
A tiny door opens into the bedroom right above Gary's dresser. A little brown door, and out come six tiny ghosts. It's a tiny ghost gang. They're mostly woman ghosts, but there's a couple men in there, too. They're like loud teenagers, laughing and slapping each other on the back. They say things like, "Is this the place?" "Yeah." "Oh my God, this room is ugly as hell." Now, our bedroom is not ugly as hell, to give you some idea of how wrong these tiny ghosts are. Our bedroom is actually very nice, with flower wallpaper and a matching flower bedspread that I found on sale. Gary loops his arms around my waist, tight, like we're about to jump off a plane together. He whispers, "That's the ghost I told you about," meaning one of the ghosts that just walked in. "Hey, Gary," she waves, elbowing one of the ghosts next to her. She has long black hair that's full of waves and little braids. She's wearing jeans and a black leather jacket. "Is this your special lady?" "This is my wife," the noisy ghost laughs. "Then I guess she's the one responsible for this lousy wallpaper."
Is there one story that struck you as really the most bone-chillingly frightening?
Oh, golly. Strangely for me, it might be The Specialist's Hat by Kelly Link, which is actually a rather dreamy story. There's a moment at the end of it. It's kind of the best scary babysitter story in the world. And at the end, when the dad comes home, there's just something about that moment where he's calling for his daughters. And you suddenly realize that this thing that has seemed kind of dreamy and a little bit wacky and interesting is like, oh no, you know, this is like this parent's tragedy.
Do you think if you came back as a ghost, what kind of ghost you'd be?
If I got any choice in the matter, which I don't know that one would, I would haunt a library and I would just read all the books, you know, because you never have enough time to read. And if you've got eternity, you could finally get some reading done.
That's terrific. Audrey, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure.
Audrey Niffenegger, she's a visual artist and author of The Time Traveler's Wife and Her Fearful Symmetry. She curated and illustrated the ghost story collection. It's called Ghostly, and you'll find a link to more information on the book at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. And we would like to know what your favorite ghost story is. You can share your favorite scary tale on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio.